Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to the Goodish Girls, guys. We have Alyssa here. My name is Dallas, and we have a very, very special guest. We have Miss Stella Bloom with us, the voice of Sarah Svane.
Hello.
Welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I cannot. This is not real. This is wild. Yay. Okay. So you are the voice of Sarah Svane, one of the most popular books out right now. My favorite book. The book I think about 24/7.
Oh my gosh.
Wild. Thank you for being here. So I kind of want to jump on into it. We did... As our listeners know, we did interview Anthony Palmini a little bit ago. So some of the questions will be somewhat similar, but I did want it to be questions that were kind of like narrated just for you. So it'll be a little bit similar, but hopefully some very unique ones for you as well.
Awesome.
So I do want to jump into it. You have been doing narration books and audiobooks for a very long time, from what I can tell, with like all of the stuff on Audible that you have. A lot of years. How did you get into this? Did it find you? Did you find it? How did that work?
I would say that I found it, and I found it at a lucky time. I've been doing it since 2013, and I went to drama school. I am also an actor, and I always really loved like voice and speech classes and expressing myself through my voice. I feel like there are people who are like really physical, or people who are really vocal, or might express themselves as actors in different ways with different strengths. And I just always really liked voice. So I kind of had it on my radar as like a dream job to be an audiobook narrator. And I happened to look up auditions just randomly on Google, which like almost never happens that you just like Google something and happen to Audible looking for narrators. But that's what happened for me. So it was kind of kismet. So I just reached out to this casting call, and they were still casting people. And I got my first book like a couple months later, and kind of just went from there.
Oh my gosh. That's like amazing.
Fate. like how often do you look up like dream, like this is my dream job, and it's like, and here it is.
Yeah. It was meant to be. Everything aligned in the universe that day.
Yeah,
that's incredible. Thanks. And you've been doing that ever since, and then here you are being one of the best FMCs around.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
I'm not even joking. I was talking to my husband the other day about it, and I was like, hey, she's gonna be on our show, and he's like, you need to let her know that Kingfisher does not do all the things that he does without Sarah Svane. And I was like, you got it. Note is being forwarded. And he's not wrong. He's not wrong.
That is so
my
sweet.
Favorite FMC for sure. Oh so God. Then that brings me to my next question of how did Quicksilver find you? Because I noticed also in your past books that you've done, it's been a lot of contemporary romance. There is quite a bit, like a little bit of fantasy in there. But How did you find this book specifically?
Yeah, so Podium, who are the producers, just reached out to me and asked. I don't remember if it was like, what do you want to be submitted, or if it was like they just offered it. But yeah, it was like they just reached out, and I was lucky enough that they did that.
Oh my gosh. Again, meant to be. That's amazing.
Exactly.
Thank you, Podium. We appreciate you. whatever person at Podium was like, hey, let's contact Stella. Give them a raise. That's my request. Somebody, whoever the big boss is over there.
Looking out for us.
No, I love it. I love it. That is amazing. And then when you were doing this, like when you accepted this role, essentially, did you think that it was going to be as big of a hit as it truly is? Because it's massive and it's still blowing up.
Yeah, I'm so excited that this book is as popular as it is. And I had no idea that it was going to be this popular. I mean, in reading it, I thought it was really good. But it's kind of like impossible to know what's going to really reach people and what might not. I mean, I've definitely recorded books where I'm like, gosh, this is great. And I hope that people like it. And it hasn't been anywhere near as popular as Quicksilver has. So I do remember that we got an email like before it came out where someone was like, this is a pretty big deal. So you all know it's going to be pretty popular, because I think the book itself before the audio came out was already a huge hit. Mm-hmm. But we recorded it as it was becoming a big hit, I think. So when we first were working on it, that wasn't quite apparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kelly posted, I think today, that they had sold over 1 million copies.
Oh my God.
Isn't that awesome? I saw that.
That's amazing.
When Brimstone comes out, I think it's going to exceed that.
Oh, wow.
People are very excited. It's an incredible book. It's an incredible series.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like even when we started covering the book in the podcast, which was like February, mm-hmm. we were talking about it to people that we knew, and people were like, oh, I've kind of heard of it, or maybe like I heard it mentioned here, but now I feel like as we're like wrapping up this in our podcast, everyone's like, oh, it's on my to be read list, or I've already read it. I feel like it's more well known even within the past 6 months, especially
definitely.
The audiobook.
Mm-hmm. 100%. People in that are like close to you and I, Alyssa, they know now when they look at me, we make eye contact, they say, okay, I'm starting on this date. I'm about to start it, because it's always every time, we'll have you read Quicksilver. Well, it's on my TBR. Well, it should be front and center. Pause. Oh, whatever it is that you're reading. Oh, man. So there are a couple more books planned, right? So as Callie mm-hmm. Hart has said, so we have Brimstone coming up. The bonus chapters on Audible were just released, and they are beautiful in every way, shape, or form. I am obsessed with them. I've already listened probably too many times. I'm not going to tell you guys how many times, but they are wonderful. Are you planning to stick with the whole Fae and Alchemy series as it's going along?
Yeah, I'll stick with it as long as they'll have me.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Podium, I want you to hear that. Okay. You have to keep her.
Fingers crossed.
And then I think Callie had mentioned that maybe possibly some future novellas as well. Do you think that that would be something that you would be interested in, even if it was it would be like a spinoff for Loreth or a spinoff for Carrion or something like that? So if Ceres wasn't in it, would that be something that you would be interested in doing, as like other female characters in those lines?
Sure.
I'm speaking all hypothetically here, just like if she happened to do that.
In a hypothetical world, that would be delightful.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah. Anything Quicksilver.
Right? Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love that. So, and then another question is you have done, from what I've seen, mostly romance, contemporary romance, like fantasy, romance, romanticy. Is there any other genres outside of that that you are interested in doing, or that you've thought about doing, or that you've done in the past that I maybe have missed?
Mm.
What are your thoughts on that? And I'm not judging at all, because all we cover is fantasy stuff here. I'm very limited in what I'm willing to read. So,
ooh, okay. Well, I have done mostly what you've just described. And that's, I think, my niche. That's really what I'm focusing on these days. Mm-hmm. I enjoy it. And I would say that's pretty much the long and short of it. However, I do love romanticy, which I think is getting more and more popular. Like, as you said, mm-hmm. I have a lot of contemporary romance, which I also really enjoy recording. And it's been so interesting to me doing this for like, I guess, 15 years now, and just seeing like the different worlds that become popular in like the huge umbrella that is romance in general. Like, I think I do a ton of hockey romance these days.
Oh, it's very big right now.
Yeah. And there was a while there where I was doing like some sort of like military rescue romance. I don't do as much of that anymore.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm loving the romanticy stuff. I think
they're
it is
so fun.
They're so fun. I love the world building. Mm-hmm. It's really just get lost in it, you know? And I think a little escapism right now is is really, really.
Oh, absolutely. There's nothing more that I love than like opening a book and jumping in.
Yes.
And just being like, I'm gone. I'm going to go away for a couple hours. Like, I'll catch you later. Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Is there any books that you are dreaming about narrating that maybe don't have an audio version yet that are kind of in your dream house?
I don't think I have any like titles. It's tough because you often get cast when the book is about to come out. So like, except for, I mean, with this, that there, this is an exception. It depends on how something's published, but yeah, I wouldn't say that there's anything like, oh, I really wish I could do that. I've read it and I loved it.
Yeah.
But I really am drawn to like old timey things, and I love like a Regency romance. And I think I've always been like, someone cast me in that.
Oh, that'd be cute. You would you would sound so good in that.
Well, thank you.
Well, when it's out, let us know and I will listen to it.
Okay.
It will be my one like strife away from fantasy land.
Yeah, we'll cover it on the pod.
Cover it on the pod. That's right. Yes. Yeah, yes, we can cover it on the pod, and we'll have you come back on, and we'll talk about it all once more.
Fantastic.
I love it.
Manifesting it.
Yes. So kind of rounding about to that, you have, again, recorded a ton of audiobooks. For our Quicksilver fans, our diehard Sarah's fangirlies, what is one audiobook that you have recorded that you would recommend for them to listen to? For those who like love your voice, the love the voice of Sarah's Fane, love how you brought these characters to life. If you could pull one book from the archives.
I would say maybe the Bewitched series by Laura Thalassa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a multiple book. I have not read that yet. It's a multiple book series, correct?
Multiple books, yeah.
Okay. And they're all on Audible, yes?
Yes, they are.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys, you heard her. The Bewitched series on Audible. Go listen to them. That is from the Queen of Sarah's Fane herself. Yes. So I want to talk a little bit about the spicy scenes.
Sure.
You, again, I mean, you've been doing this a long time. It's probably like just second nature to you now. Was that easy to get into? Was it hard to get into? How does that work? How do you get in the zone with that? Do you have to like listen to music? Do you have to do some sort of routine? Like, do you have to listen to something fun? How do you do that? You make it sound so natural and easy.
Oh, thanks. Well, I would say that it really is easy when you have material like Callie Hart's material. I mean, like the words, I just like let the story take me there, honestly. I don't do a big prep. I just kind of get into the zone through reading the book and reading the words in the moment. And yeah, I mean, I like I said, I come from an acting background and I love text work. And I think like she's such a good writer that it's honestly, it is easy to just go there.
Yeah. So you have the book in front of you, you're reading it, and you're recording your lines. Are you also listening to the Kingfisher side of it so that way it's in line with each other, or do you highlight your words, or how do you do that? What's your method?
I it's wild to me, but I do not listen to Kingfisher as I'm going, and I'm like, I hope this works. Like, I hope we're on the same page. We literally are on the same page. I'm kind of amazed when it comes together. And I mean, again, like, I think this is a testament to the writing, which is that like, it does kind of, I think, suggest to whoever's reading it and paying attention what's happening. And so, yeah, I don't actually listen to what he's saying, but I do take time to like read what the lines are and then respond, imagining how he might sound.
Oh, okay. Okay. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's incredible. I love that. Yeah. So, and you, the story itself is from Sarah Svane's perspective. So how much harder is it to not only record all of the female characters, right? Record these big, spicy scenes, but then also narrate the entire book as well. How much more like work is that an effort is that compared to just saying the like just the female character lines? Or is it any different at all?
You know, it takes longer, but in some ways I find it easier because I'm like telling the whole story. So when I have a line of dialogue, I'm not like, okay, where am I? What's happening? You know, I don't have to keep checking in with kind of like where I'm at in the story. I'm mm-hmm. just going right with it as I would normally with a book that I record. So yeah, I actually don't find it to be difficult. It just takes longer.
Yeah. And do you do one chapter at a time or do you usually like pick a couple chapters?
I go in order and I generally try to record like four to six finished hours a day. So I'll be in the, no, sorry, that's wrong. I record for like 4 to 6 hours at a time and that'll be a finished 2 to 3 hours, but I'll be in the booth for 4 to 6 hours.
Yeah, oh, okay. And that includes like starting, stopping, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, like backtracking.
Yes. Stopping for lunch. Okay. Like, yeah, going back.
Yeah. And then you go on vocal rest.
I don't have to rest that much these days.
Do you? Okay. Here's another weird question that I didn't put on the thing.
Yeah.
Is that, do you dress to record or are you like in your, not in your jammies, but I guess in your jammies?
I do not record in my jammies, but I would say that I definitely wear soft clothes.
Okay. Yeah. To be like comfortable.
Yes. And I will also say a little detail about recording in the summer is that I have to turn off my AC because of the fan noise that comes with it. So there are days where I'm just like in the booth, like,
oh no,
with sweat.
Oh my gosh.
Quite a thing. But, you know, yeah, the things we do to get through.
To make incredible art.
Yeah. I think I know people who like record with ice cubes and they're just like,
yeah, just bring like a little ice pack. So I guess if it makes any noise at all, right? Like,
oh yeah,
it picks up everything.
It really does. You can barely move without it picking it up. But yeah, so.
And you are probably like using a tablet or something instead of like a physical book because of the pages like turning. Is that
using a tablet? Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wild. I never would have thought about any of that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Just the glamorous. So. A Quicksilver question for you. So obviously we know that you voice Sarah, you voice all the female characters there. Mm-hmm. Who was your favorite character to voice besides Saris?
You know, this is embarrassing because I'm forgetting the name of the evil queen.
Ooh, Madra.
Madra, that's
okay,
right.
That's okay, I got you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I knew you would know. and I think I love an evil character, so I really enjoyed voicing Madra. And
I thought you did a great job voicing her.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Yeah.
It was great. In some of our earlier episodes, I kind of relate to her a little bit. I'm like, you know, she didn't make the best decisions, but I kind of get it. Just a little bit. I don't know if you remember that, Alyssa, like way back.
Yes, Dallas. This is like your trope. Like, I know. Any character that's not the main character that has like a little bit of a like a villainous touch to them, like a Nesta, like a Danya, that's Dallas's thing.
Oh my god, I feel so exposed.
I love that though.
It's okay though. It's somebody true. Has to stand up for them.
I do. I'm like, I mean, I get it. I mean, Madra is not a nice lady, but at the same time, if I just try to put my feet in the evil queen's shoes, right? I was like, if I was her, I would probably do the same thing.
Yeah. And also, you know, spend so much time being nice that it's mm-hmm. like really liberating to imagine yourself in the, I don't know, I'm projecting this. Yeah. But, I find those characters to be fun because they're just like, just doing it. You know, like
they're doing whatever they want, whenever they want.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it.
We're written that way for a reason, right? Like there has to be a little bit of, you have to be able to relate a little bit. So.
Yes, 100%. 100%. My favorite character that you did besides Ceres was actually Bal and Mithid.
Oh.
The little goddesses. I'm obsessed with them. Obsessed.
Really fun too. And they
because they're in the bonus chapters too, right? So like when that came out, it was one of my favorite parts.
I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah, they are fun. They're like, who was I thinking of when I was recording them? I feel like I'm not even sure if I was aware of whatever it was I was drawing on when I was recording them, but I definitely know somewhere in the recesses of my mind, I'm like, this is who I, there's like somebody there. Kind of Shirley Henderson, who played Moaning Myrtle in the Harry Potter.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Not quite as sad, like, but she, I think she can play sort of sad characters, but also really cheerful and kind of mischievous characters as well. So it's kind of what I was thinking of.
I can 100% see that. Yeah, like that teenage kind of nasally drawn out voice, like a lot of sarcasm.
Like Moaning Myrtle. And like Luna Lovegood combined.
Yes.
Okay, yes.
Like it has like that floating Luna Lovegood quality to it.
You're right. You're right.
Yes.
So, and that's what I was going to ask. Did you get any directive on how to voice them, or did you decide that portion like on your own? Were they like make them younger? Well, I mean, they are, I guess they're portrayed as pretty, they're young but super old in the book.
Right.
Is that what something that they wanted?
Like young but eternal. We were not really given vocal notes so much as like character notes or description. So I think whatever vocal choices I made were just based in like descriptions of who people were, or as I was going through the book, kind of making interpretations based on how they were described.
I really didn't think about it right before I was listening to it, but when I finally got to hear Morel's voice in the bonus chapters for the first time, chef's kiss.
Oh, thanks.
Loved them. And I wasn't expecting it either, because I was like, oh, I've read these 100 times. Like I know these bonus, like I was quoting them as I was listening to them, right? And then I heard it and I was like, oh my gosh, there she is. For the first time. I'm hearing it. Did you get the same reaction, Alyssa? Was that just a me thing? It might have just been a me thing.
I mean, I would agree. Like some of those characters, right, we've read but hadn't heard, whereas everybody else we've heard. But the bonus chapters are your, as you call, Roman Empire, Dallas. So
yes, they are.
I probably wasn't like dropping to the floor like you were, but it was exciting to get a voice for those characters when we've had a voice for everybody else.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, Omnom like, Shikrai.
Kind of like completes the world as far as we know it so far.
That's true. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, it's like it was like a missing puzzle piece that we needed.
Oh,
yeah, really cool.
Oh, amazing. I need to listen to them again. So how did you get the voice for Ceres Fane? And I ask this because I do feel like a lot of FMCs sound very, not super, not identical, but very similar. But I think that Ceres Fane herself as the character is a very different type of FMC. She's very capable. She's very strong. She's been through a lot. She takes care of a lot of things. And so what did you kind of relate her to when you were designing her voice or bringing her character and her voice to life?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, she's so capable. She's been through so much dark stuff. Like, obviously, where she's from is a really traumatizing place, but she's like, she doesn't need help. I mean, we all need help, but she does so much by herself. And I think that in thinking about how to voice her, I just really wanted her to come across as somebody who's not just strong, but also like laughs at things. Like I think through it by like she and Carrion, I love Carrion. Like they're both just like so jaded, but in a like, I think they're both still hopeful. Kind of like there's a hope. Yeah. There's a sort of a like hopeless, hopeful thing about both of them, but like, or about everyone from their world. And yeah, I guess that's what I was thinking of. Like, she's not wide-eyed. She's not somebody who is totally innocent or like mm-hmm. naive to the world by any means, but also not somebody who has given up. And so I guess I'm thinking about all those things as I voice her. So yeah, not like, I guess that's probably where I would stop with grabbing that.
Did you have to go through a couple different voices to perfect it, or did you kind of lean into one and it just took off?
I'd say I leaned into one, and I feel like I want to go even harder in that direction as the series progresses.
Yeah, I mean, now she's going to come out on the other side as a totally different person, really.
Yeah.
Not really person, not really human at all anymore.
Right.
So yeah, it would be interesting to see how her voice grows with her changes and things that are now happening in her life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's going to be exciting. I can't wait.
Yeah.
That's going to be amazing. So then it brings me to another voice that I also want to talk about, and that is the voice of the Quicksilver itself. Ooh, yeah. Did you get any direction on that, or how did you – because it's very like whispery, like we're here, like very lighthearted.
Yeah.
So how did you come apart that voice as well? Did you get notes for that? Did you kind of decide that on your own as well?
I also decided that on my own. And I guess I see them as like, or see the Quicksilver as just like aching to be heard, but also like mm-hmm. not totally of this world, right? But like, I haven't articulated this to myself until we're talking about it right now, but basically just like, I don't know, it almost feels, it has like a sort of squeezed through reality kind of feel to me.
Okay, yeah, like trying to break out of something, like break free,
right,
in a way, right. Okay. Yeah. And we've talked about this, the Quicksilver, a lot in our mm-hmm. in our podcast episodes, where it's very selfish, it's very lonely, and it's like wanting to get attention.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. So it's like, hello, I'm here. Talk to me. I'm right here. Yeah. Right. So
right, like, and Kingfisher is so mad at, I mean, that there's such a like, it's bad, it's inside, like there's this animosity towards it, but I think that it also like demands to be heard. Yeah,
it does. It does demand to be heard, and it makes decisions all the time, and it knows everything that's happening all the time. Mm-hmm. So then I would like to ask you a theoretical question.
Okay.
If the Quicksilver had its own point of view chapter or POV, what do you think that they would say? It can be any of the Quicksilver. It can be the one that's, it can be the kind that's in Kingfisher's eye. It can be the one that's, it was in the sword. It can be one that's in the ring or the relic, and anything that you like. Is there something that you think it would want to talk about?
Oh my gosh. I'm like actually more curious to know what you think it would want to talk about. Like, you really like theorized on the Quicksilver.
Oh, I'm sure I've got whole chapters I could write.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I don't know. In some ways I do feel this kind of like, almost like Saris's view of the Quicksilver, which is like, you're so mischievous. Like, I guess I haven't thought much about the Quicksilver's perspective in a way. And what it would want.
I think it would talk to it like itself.
Hmm.
Right. So like when you listen to it, you hear your voice as the Quicksilver. You also hear Anthony's voice as the Quicksilver. So it's multiple voices, almost like that hive mind kind of vibe. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it would, if someone walked by, it would be like, oh my gosh, why did they look at me? I'm right here. And it would walk by, hello, I'm literally right here. You could talk to me, right? Or if Sarah's trying to talk to it and it stops talking to her, I just, part of me feels like it would be like, you know, I think I want a joke, but I'm not going to tell her yet.
Yeah.
You know, I actually think a favor would be nice, but I think I'm going to make her wait it out. So I think it would be very, very mischievous.
It's certainly mischievous. Yes. It would draw things out for sure. Yes.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm. It would be like, well, I don't know. Maybe.
What will you give me for it? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to ask you that one because I should have asked that one to Anthony too, and I did not. So within the book, we have Ceres and Onyx. What were your initial thoughts when you were reading that? What are your thoughts on their relationship or just those two characters in general?
I love Onyx so much. I really love their relationship. He reminds me of my dog a little bit. I love like the visual of him sort of like poking his nose out of the bag when they're going through the forest, and like that they also find each other rather serendipitously. And yeah, I think he's like looking out for her and they're looking out for each other, and it's such a tender connection and also very funny and sweet. So
yeah, I agree.
Fan of Onyx.
Do you think the fox is more than just a fox?
When is a fox only a fox, you know?
That's a great answer.
I could definitely see a world in which he's not just a fox.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm.
Agreed. So then, speaking of like things maybe in the future, there are some theories, and there's some theories that Alyssa and I have talked about as well on like previous episodes, that the full witches in the Balclutter clan will come back into book two. If that is true, do you have a voice in mind for what a true witch would sound like, right? Because in the book right now they have like the half witches, and but the Balclutter clan went away a long time ago, so we didn't really hear any of those actual full witches in the original book.
I don't know. I have not thought about that yet. I wonder, what do you think, that they would not sound like regular humans?
I don't know.
Different.
I don't know if it'd be like the stereotypical like high pitched like whiny-ish voice of a witch. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Or would they sound more like, would it be like deeper and more wise?
I think I would say the second. I think that anything that old, like an ancient sort of in what's the word I'm looking for? Origin would be like very grounded and kind of profound sounding. Like, and there's so many characters in this series that are immortal or very, very so obviously making the choice of like kind of a serious sounding person is not something you'd want to do for everybody, and obviously somebody who's eternal could be more like, you know, the goddesses are quite, they're up here. I think there's something like very serious about the witches that I would want to explore.
Now she's going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, you got me thinking about it.
Now when Brimstone comes out, she's going to be, you'll be ready.
Yeah, or I'm going a completely different direction. I'm like, oh no, I got to go back on the podcast and be like, okay.
Gotta go back. Yes, you're always welcome back on the pod any day. You tell me.
More.
Yes, I can help you. Awesome. You just send me an email. Okay. I'll be there.
Thoughts. Yeah.
What do you think? So what are your theories on the direction that Ceres is going to go in Brimstone? Or do you have any like thoughts or hopes for Ceres in the second book upcoming of like where she goes in this new transformation that she has been through?
I would imagine there's going to be a lot of reckoning with this like new part of her, and like this, like the It's a very complicated transformation that she's going through, right? Like, it's not sort of wholly good, to put it very simply.
Right.
And I think that, yeah, there's going to be like a lot of reckoning and maybe like exploration of self, but also like hopefully being able to step into new identity and power and like embrace that. And I'm also just like so interested in how people reckon with the idea of suddenly being immortal. Like, I mean, Kingfisher is what, like 1,000 years old?
Mm-hmm. Over 1,000.
Over 1,000 years old, and she's like 20-something.
Yeah.
You know,
so she was 24 because Hayden was 20.
Okay.
So probably my assumption would be 24 or 25 in the next book. Right. I don't know when the timeline will, I don't know when it will start. Right. My guess would be immediately afterwards, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. So she's brand new. And yeah. So what does it mean to like contend with all of a sudden a totally different lifespan and like having new powers that are complicated in their sort of moral, sphere. So
Well, and freshly accepting the mate bond as well, right? Because she accepted but hasn't really had it accepted for that long, so that's like a whole new feeling as well.
Yeah, that'll be fun to explore.
Poor girl has a lot coming.
Yes,
she has a lot that she's gonna go through.
Oh, luckily that makes for good storytelling.
Oh, it sure will. 100%. Yes. So then that brings me to one of the questions that we've been waiting for. Would you be willing to give us a line in the Ceres voice?
Sure. Yeah. Fuck the fates. They don't get to decide shit for me. I decide what my future is going to be. My soul was on fire, and I didn't care if I burned for all eternity. So long as I was burning with him, then so be it.
I'm fangirling so hard right now. Wow.
Okay, I'm glad that
oh my gosh. I'm trying to be fangirl professionally. Dallas, fangirl professionally. It's fine. Everything's
fine. Oh my gosh. On here. I'm like, you got Kingfisher delivering. Oh
my
gosh. Lines?
No, that was amazing. Goosebumps on my arms. Woo.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, great. Yay.
Wow. Ceres is just as amazing as Kingfisher. Like, I mean, I love my Kingfisher. I 100%. I think Anthony Palmieri does an amazing job. And I know that that voice is very viral and out there. But Ceres Fane is truly one of my favorite FMCs. And she would not be that without you. So thank you so much. Thank you for bringing her character to life. Thank you for being on our podcast today. Thank you for giving us that amazing line. Woo. That was fabulous.
Really my pleasure. It's been so fun to talk about this book. And I'm, just really glad that you feel like I did her justice, because I think she's really fantastic too.
Yes, you did. And we, every time we talk to somebody or really anybody about the book and about Quicksilver, it's, well, you can read it, but you really should just listen to it. So there's not one character in there I would change in any way, shape, or form at all in any way. So that was amazing. So for our listeners, the Kingfisher Point of View bonus chapters are officially out there on Audible. I think they're still less than $2. So go grab them so you can listen to them, so you can finally hear what Morel sounds like. Some Val and Mithin are in there. We got beautiful Danya, pre-Ceres, so people like her in that one. It's okay. Brimstone comes out November 18th. So look forward to that as well. My name is Dallas.
I'm Alyssa.
And Stella, do you want to sign off and say anything fun?
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm Stella Bloom. Thanks for listening. And I'm excited for you all to hear Brimstone when it comes out in November.
Can't get enough of the Goodish Girls? Follow us on social media for sneak peeks at our upcoming episodes and bonus content.
Save on quality sofas, sectionals, top brand mattresses, and more during Haverty's President's Day sale. Find the style of furniture you've been looking for at Haverty's, online, or in Columbus at Polaris.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Switching between tools for one project gets disjointed, especially on tight deadlines. Grammarly built a game-changing writing surface tailor-made for professionals to help you move your ideas forward and sharpen your writing. You can brainstorm ideas, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or strengthen a proposal without context switching. Easy to get started and even easier to finish. Sign up for Grammarly free and get your professional writing from draft to done. Visit Grammarly.com. That's Grammarly.com.